Okay. Okay, we're about to embark upon a brand new sugya. So we're actually not going to talk too much about Gita now. We're going to talk a little bit more about regular shtaros. So just kidding, we're going to talk about Gita also a little bit, but it's going to set the stage for shtaros. Why are we talking about shtaros? Because the Gemara in Daf Dalet and Aleph is still trying to figure out who is the author of our mission. Can you believe it? We're heading, it's almost Thanksgiving. More than a quarter of the way done with the year, and we still haven't even finished understanding who is the author of our Mishnah. I mean, we have picked up one or two things along the way, but we're still trying to solve the major problem. Hamani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah talks about a deksiva, and talks about b'fai nechtam. So it sounds like the Mishnah is giving a significance to both the Ksiva and the Chasima, which seems to be not fit into neither Rabbi Meir's model nor Rabbi Loza's model. So the Gemara does have a possibility that maybe it's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara says that we're shying away from that. Maybe the end of it, it may be right. But that wasn't our first choice. Why wasn't it our first choice? Because, first of all, we like Rabbi Yehuda also, but we like Rabbi Meir because that Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And we like Rabbi Elazar because Hilchsuk of Asei Begitin. Because we know that it's already been long established later on in the ninth parak that the halacha does follow Rabbi Elazar. So halacha might say we pass it into Mesira Karasi, and therefore we would like if the opening Mishnah would be in the halacha. You know, as a general rule, halacha is Kistam Mishnah. It's not an absolute rule. There are a couple exceptions to the rule. But, you know, stylistically, you would kind of like the Stam Mishnah to be the halacha, especially the first Mishnah, the Masechta. I mean, it's kind of hard to get off on the wrong foot. That's why one of the strangest Taisa in all of Shas is the Taisa in Dabbez Medalf and Brachas. First Taisa in Brachas. But Taisa says, the first mission in Brachas. He would think, we'd like, get up for the... We don't pass like that first mission. Taisa, we pass like a Brysa that appears in the fourth Brach of Brachas against the Stamish. Very, very strange, strange Taisa. But the Gemara here is shying away from that idea. We want to stick in the mission of the fellow Rabbi Lazar. And after all, we know Allah Rabbi Lazar begins to... So the Gemara has this phrase, "Lach Rabbi Loza Begitin." That's like the catchphrase. That's like the motto of the Masechta. "Lach Rabbi Loza Begitin." So the Gemara later on in the ninth parak picks up on that catchphrase, "Kaimel Lach Rabbi Loza Begitin." And how literal should we take that statement? Does Begitin mean la'afuke other things, other similar cases like shtarim mamon? What does Lach Rabbi Loza Begitin mean? Begitin v'chayetziba in all other cases of shtaris as well. So it's a little bit unclear. So the Gemara has a discussion on the two fronts later on in Berakah Megarish. Forget about what the halach is. What did Rabbi Elazar himself say? So Rabbi Elazar was the... Maybe we get something in the area. So the halach is like Rabbi Elazar Begitin. So we know Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's original statement was said, Legavi Aget. There's only one statement that we have of Rabbi Elazar this entire topic. What was that? That's that Mishnah later on. Afilu Ein Bai... What was the phrase? I forgot the phrase already. Kibul Gittim Sulim, right? And these are the... Rabbi Elazar, Afa Bisha Eidolam Eidim Elshin, Eidim Kashim. That was Rabbi Elazar's statement. So we know that Rabbi Elazar's original statement was concerning Gittin. What did Rabbi Elazar say about the Shtar? Let's say, for example, Shtar Matana, Shtar Achira, Shtar Hava. Would Rabbi Elazar sanction other kinds of Shtaros? Without Eide Chasima? So the Gemara says yes. Rabbi Elazar proper would, and the Gemara proves it beyond the shadow of a doubt, except the fact that the Gemara of Basra throws a doubt at it, but beyond the shadow of a doubt, in Maseches Gittin, Rabbi Elazar proper was of the opinion that Eide Chasima not really necessary, Bein Begittin, Bein Mishtar Mamon. The only thing the Amoraim weren't sure about is that maybe that much we don't go, maybe that far we don't go. Maybe to say the Halakha of Elazar, even Mishar Shtaros, that was a loaded machlekes. Rav and Shmuel, everybody under the sun getting into the discussion about this later on at Berakah Megarish. So, Rabbi Elazar made two statements. That's not negotiable, at least at this stage. Eide Chasima meaningless by Gittin, Eide Chasima meaningless by Shtar Momen. Whether or not we follow Rabbi Elazar, both, that's up for grabs. So, Ad Kan Divrei Gemara in Berakah Megarish, that's what Tosfos picks up here. On the phrase, the Kaim Halacha B'Loz Begitin, maybe we should be Medayek Lo B'Shtaros, maybe yeah, maybe no. That's what I'm kind of leaves us hanging on the bottom of the Alba Dalet. So what shouldn't did be? We have this open-ended sugya in Berakah Megarish, lack of clarity. What shouldn't did be? This is very serious. I want to sell you land. I want to I'll give you a gift. I said, I'll lend you money. So we want to write up a shtar. That's not a gift. That's a shtar moment. Is it feasible to have Eidim Mesira at a shtar moment? Very unclear. So the Rishonim try very, very hard to try to bring rayas to this. And Taisa starts the ball rolling. They dug up a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, the third part of Masechet Sanhedrin, that seems to shed some light on this matter. What should the halacha be? Like Rabbi Lazar, only get their even shashtaras. So they reference a whole complicated sugya in Sanhedrin, Chesim and Beis, with a background that the Gemara was as follows. The Mishnah, the third part of Sanhedrin, is listing off all the people who are possible Eidos. So one of the Klali HaTorah, whose Pasal Yedis is a Korav. How do you know a Korav Pasal Yedis? State, La Yumsu, Abbas Abbanavan, La Yumsu, Abbas Yishpachat Yumasu. So of course the literal meaning of the Pasuk sounds like, La Yumsu Abbas Abbanavan, that means if a kid kills somebody, oh, kill the father. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Pasuk means. Yishpachat Yumas, I know that already, that's what the end of the Pasuk means. So licked in the first phrase, La Yumsu Abbas Abbanavan, so Abbas, the Tereshim Apeh explains to us, it also means, a deeper level interpretation means, this is the source that a father can't be made for against the son, a son can be made for a father, etc. Then the Gemara says, and how do you know brothers? So the Gemara says, how do you know cousins? Oh, to teach me that when all the dust settles, there's a parish in the Torah of Psul Karev. That's a Dimin HaTorah. Learned out from the Torah Shabbat. There's interpretation of this possible. So even though everybody agrees there's a Dimin HaTorah Kerovim, it's not at all clear how far Kerova goes. So it was my 16th cousin, so we consider it to be a Kerov. We're all related. Somehow we all go back to Yaakov Avinu, so we're all very, very distant cousins. So obviously, Yesh Gvul B'Dover. So where the Gvul is, those are Sugges. It's an Ebin Sugges, but a Basra. Somewhat Machlaik Sim in the Gemara, Machlaik Sim Rishonim. Unclear exactly how far the levels of Kerova go. So one of the questionable Kervas is when you start to throw a monkey wrench in. That's called Ishtuk Gufo, Balki Ishtuk. So there's a general rule in Hilchos Eidos that if I can't be made for you, then I can't be made for your wife as well. Because the husbands and wives, they're all one and the same. Not only Hilchos Chanukah, they're the same, but Hilchos Eidos, they're also the same. There's the Mishtabur in Hilchos Chanukah, a very, very strange din where we know the Gemara tells us, you know, the Emerald, we're in the 30 days before Chanukah. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that Mahadrin and Mahadrin, so something. I'm not sure what that Mahadrin, what does that mean? So we paskin that Mahadrin and Mahadrin means that you have to have the amount of candles per the night of Hanukkah, per the B'nai HaBayis. So let's say if you have six people in the house, that's the third night of Hanukkah. So then you have 18 candles that are set. So Machlokes Taisus in the Rambam. Taisus writes, that's the ultimate, the best way to light Neros Hanukkah, the best of the best, the top of the top, Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Is you do a little multiplication. The amount of people in the house times the amount of nights of Chanukah is, and that's the Mahadrim Mahadrim. Then there's a further machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramah, as to who lights all those candles. So the Rambam writes that the Baal Bayis lights all 18 candles, and the Ramah says, no, each of the rabbis light their own candles. That's a loaded machlokes, a Hidda Mitzvah machlokes. It's going to come up in the second breath of, believe it or not, on the Chof, as soon as the Hidda Mitzvah, but not for now. So the question is, who's called B'nai HaBayis exactly? Who counts as being B'nai HaBayis? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that a husband and wife count as one. They get one vote in membership and shul. You get one family, it's one vote. Husband and wife get one vote. Why? Because Ishtu Kagufo. What does that mean? So my wife does that to hear the Megillah because I heard the Megillah. My wife does that to eat matzah because I might have kids because I have a kid. What do the words mean? Since when does Ishtik Gufo affect in terms of a person's Shemiras HaMitzvah? It's a very, very difficult halacha. That's what that meaning is. Most people have that meaning, that the wives don't light Neros Chanukah, the husbands don't light an Erev Menorah for the married women. Some of that's considered to be covered by Ishtik Gufo. But there's a further shayla about what if it's not my wife, it's my daughter. It's an unmarried daughter. So the Pashup shayla is she's still from the Menorah Bayis, so I should light a Menorah for her, she should light a Roman Menorah. So there's a meaning in many places that the unmarried girls also don't let menorahs. Where did that come from? So the Chassam Sefer writes that came from somewhere totally different. That's nothing to do with Ishtik Gufo. The Chassam Sefer writes that came from the olden days. The Friyatik Adairis, they used to light outside. Pesach Habayis and Bechutz. Bechutz and Bechutz. They would have a whole gathering of people together lighting the menorah. So Chassam Sefer, Chazal would have been Misakeh in the Takora, that the young girls, the teenage girls should go out and light. the teenage boys are coming out. What is it? Shirachaven. What is it? The boys of the yes, the girls going to come also. That's not the proper. That's not Sanua. So it must be that when the original takana was made, that they excluded the unmarried girls from the mahadim and mahadim. And that's the minig that we have out here. Is that even though Tosfos writes in Shabbos, we light the finim anyway. We're not lighting out in the streets. We're lighting out as far as home. But ain't lo nevel mashenoga v'seinu says the Chassam Sofer. That was the original minig was. The original takana was. The original hiddah was that the unmarried girls don't have a light on their nose. Anyway, that Tesla. So Ishtek Gufo in Eretz Chanukah, we're not sure what it's doing there, but in Hilchos Eidos, the Gemara says in Klor, that Ishtek Gufo is a real rule in terms of Hilchos Eidos. So it's with that background that the Gemara has a quote to the Tanoim about two brothers-in-law. Are they allowed to be married to each other? So yeah, that's the Reuben and Shimon Ma'ar Rochaleh. That's the Gevamos, right? Reuben and Shimon Ma'ar Rochaleh. So now Reuben... What kruv is it? Well, ishtech gufo. So the two ishtech gufos combined together, the two women can't be made for each other. They can't be made because they're women. But even if they wouldn't have been women, they couldn't have been able to be made for each other. So to over here, if let's say, so my wife happens not to have a sister. She has a lot of brothers. She has three sisters. But my wife would have a sister, and then that sister would be married. So then, can I be made together with that fellow? Can I be made to him? Or made together? That's a machlekes zatana. So with that background, the Gemara tells the following story. In the second man of Kodesh, third man of Kodesh, I'm sorry. Hahima tanta da v'chasim rala trei gisei. There was once a shtar matona that had two gisim, two brothers-in-law, signed on it together. Savar of Yosef lachshura. So of Yosef, the Amir of Yosef thought it's okay. We can accept that shtar matona. The Amir of Yudah Meshmol lach Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yudah Meshmol taught us that we paskin like Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi was the one who said that brothers-in-law shtei gisim can be made together. Amalei Abayi, so Abayi shepherd his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, he said to him, "Mimayid Rabbi Yosef the Maslisa, the Machshe Begiso, the Rabbi Yosef, the Bais, the Pos Begiso." There were actually two different versions of Rabbi Yosef. The Machlekes Tanoim were later Tanoim had two different opinions as to what the Tana Rabbi Yosef said. So Abayi said to Rabbi Yosef, "How do you know that the Psak Halach of Shmua was like Rabbi Yosef, the Kula version? Maybe it was the Chumah version." So the Gemara continues on to try to figure out what Shmua did and didn't say. So Abayi was chepering of Yosef for a long time. He was hakanim in China. Can ask, saying to him, it's not so simple. How do you know? Maybe we pass in the chumrah. So the Gemara skips down four lines towards the end of the fourth line. Amalei zil kani be'ed mesira kerebel lozer. So Rabbi Yosef said, okay. So maybe taka the shtarma, maybe the chasima sataka no good. So make sure that you have eid mesira. You have eid mesira, everything's gonna be good. Why? Because Rabbi Lozer eid mesira kerzi. Right, that was Rabbi Yosef's Eitzel. So Abaye jumped on him and he said, "V'haba Rabbi Abba, Madi Rabbi Laz, B'mzur B'tach Shepasol." So Rabbi Abba, I'm sorry, so Abaye re-chepered Rabbi Yosef. They didn't leave his Rabbi alone. So Abaye chepered Rabbi Yosef and said, no, what do you mean? Just sticking Eid in Mesirin is not going to solve the world's problems, because Al Atzad, that the two brothers-in-law are possible to be made, so then the Shtar is B'mzur B'tach. I think we learned a little bit yesterday, the day before, about Mezuvah B'Deirah. That's a problem. Mezuvah B'Deirah is a big problem. This is the original Mezuvah, though. This is not even the Mechudish Tech of Mezuvah B'Deirah of Shalom Lishma. This is the original Mezuvah B'Deirah of Eidim Sulim. So Rav Yosef got a little frustrated. Amalei Zil, Lo Shavkli Del Svin Eloch. So Rav Yosef said to the Mekabos HaMatan, he said, "Go, I'm sorry, I can't help you. That Abai is not leaving me alone. He's a vice shepherd, he's a hakabi chayne. He won't let this shtar matana pass the rigorous test of halacha." Therefore, I'm not sure what the end of the story was. So, I can't defy a gemara. So, Taisus took this gemara. And Taisus says, "Oh, what do you see from this gemara? You see from this gemara that although Abaye and Yosef were getting bogged down the intricacies of Mezuvah B'Deirah. Is it really concerned? Not a concern? Yeah, no. But the Ikaron, the option of doing what? The option of doing Eidim Mesira was a real live option. That was an acceptable option. That was a legitimate option. Why? Because Allah Kareb Elazar, not only what? Begitin, but even what? Shashtars. That's what Taisa says on the page. Taisa Dalab Al says, that Gemara Sanhedrin is a good raya. You know, Rabbi Yosef, Abaye, those were already towards they were what we call the Kibas Roy. Abaye and Rava were the kind of like the shifting The Ga'anim had a tradition. We don't have this in the Gemara itself, but the Ga'anim had a tradition that be most of Ayvarava Elach Hilchasakabasarai. That from that period of time already, the later Amoraim, they were like halfway through the Amoraim period, at that point the halacha follows the later Amoraim. The later Amoraim had access to what the earlier Amoraim said, and they passed it again, so we follow the later Amoraim. So already you're talking the days of Abaye, Rav Yosef is right before that, the days of Abaye, you see that the tide had already turned. They're already pointing in the direction to follow Rabbi Elazar, even Bishar Shtaris. That was Taisa's Raya. So the Ravid, in his Asagas on the Rif, wasn't sure if this is a good Raya. The Ravid quotes such a Raya. He claims the Rif said such a Raya. It's unclear what the Rif actually quotes this Raya. Also, think yourself what the Rif actually meant to say. And the Ravid has the following Ha'ara. The Ravid says, it's the fourth line, fifth of Ramakrav, so any Aymer, in Kabbalah Hunakamu. He said, you know, if the Rif had as our tradition that the halacha follows of the laws of Bishashtar, it's hard for me to argue with the Rif's traditions. But if he's just trying to bring a raya on his own, the Rif didn't have such a tradition from his Rebbeim, he's just trying to read it in the Gemara, trying to bring a raya, and the best raya he can come up with was this raya that Taisus quotes. So I have a kasha. That phrase, by the way, the rabbi uses, that's a phrase that appears in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes, I forgot already where. The Gemara says, "Im the halacha in the kabo, v'im ledin yesh tshuva." So if you're telling me a halacha, you have a tradition, nishra piyish, you know, from Rebbeim, okay, hard to argue with tradition. But if you're telling you made this up on your own, you thought of a shtipa raya yourself, now you're the raya's nishkin raya. That's what the rabbi says, the raya's nishkin raya. Why? The had the amri kula meroy b'shtaris loy, b'shum the ha'b'shtar leis the kolach, there's a pedomi. So the Ravid takes a step back. He says, you know, I don't understand this whole discussion. So please explain to me what we're talking about. Halacha kribalaza begitin. Nimna begamru. Everybody agrees to that. There was nobody in the last 1,800 years who would argue with that statement. Halacha kribalaza begitin. So the Ferish Yigmar in Perkab Agash, Ferish Yigmar in Gittin Davdalet. Nimna begamru. Kach nimna begamru. Kochach miyisrael. Halacha kribalaza begitin. Finish. End of discussion. And yet, half the Amoraim say, no, by Shtar and Mammon, everything's different. Why? Why? Why is Shtar and Mammon different? Conceptually, why is Shtar and Mammon different? Didn't we say already that there are four Shtaris that are mentioned in the Torah and Tanakh? There's the Get, there's the Shtar Kedusha, Shtar Shichron, Shtar Matan, Shtar Mechira. So they're all the same. They're all basically working the same. For care, Rabbi Elazar himself said they're the same. Rabbi Elazar said the din is true by Shtar Mammon. So the Hechid tasted that he has to have arrived and dreamt up this chinuch. No, by Gittin, yeah, by Shtar's name. So the Ravid says, a korchuch, the reason for that distinction must be as follows. The Ravid's sitting around in Provence, 800 years later than anybody ever made this distinction. And he's going back to the Gemara Pei Vav and Amagarish and saying, let me explain to you why Hefti Amorayim had concerns with accepting Rabbi Elazar's second statement. Says the Ravid, because when you deal with a Shtar Mammon, there's always that possibility that this is going to cost Lekuchos down the line. Now, there are different kinds of Shtar Mammon. Let's say, LeMashal, a Shtar Halva. A Shtar Halva has huge repercussions because a Shtar Halva is not only necessarily going to be used against the Baal Dover himself, against the Loiva, it may also cost the Lekuchos. If somebody bought a field from this Loiva and there's a Shibud Dechosim on this field, that's going to be detrimental to the Lekuchos. Or a Shtar Mechira could also potentially have impacts on the Lekuchos. Why? If I sell you land and it turns and you pay me $1 million for the land, it turns out I wasn't the owner of the land. So it turns out that field was a mortgage to the bank, and the bank comes and takes it away. So you're going to come running after me. And if I don't have money to collect, you'll collect from other lekuchos of mine. So Shtari Mammon have a red flag attached to them. It's called lekuchos. To be given the lekuchos, there's a basic fundamental din that appears at the very end of Maseches Bava Basra, that we do not want to take money away from lekuchos unless the lekuchos were negligent and they didn't do their due diligence. The halacha is that a milva b'shtar is goyim ben alakuchas, a milva b'peh is not goyim ben alakuchas. If I borrow $1,000 from you and we write a document So then you have a right to go after people who I sell my land to. Then shibud's going to work. If there's no document, just simply a milk about that, then you have no right to do so. Why is it such a chiluk? So there's a loaded machlokes at the end of the Basha is that Ben Atar is yeshibud, Ben Rabban is yeshibud. But everybody agrees at the end of the day, the reason why the Mishnah draws the distinction, halach l'maisen, this is the din. Halach l'maisen bezin, forget about Torahs and Rosh Hashivas and Maislach Shibud, they're right here. Bottom line of Cheshimishba, we pass in a Mubu Bishtar gets from the Kuchas, Mubu Balpeh doesn't. Why is that? Which is very simple. A Mubu Bishtar, you should have done your due diligence, you should have done your homework. There's a shtar in town. That means people sign this document. The Beis Din knows about it. People talk about it. It's the buzz is on the street that this field has potentially a shibud on it. So why'd you go buy it for? You the offset and afshe. If it's a milva bi'alpeh, that means it was done in hush and hush. I borrowed $1,000 from somebody in secret. Nobody knows about it. So how is the lekech going to do his due diligence? So therefore, we should say to the kuchos, we're never going to take away from the kuchos, unless it was a shtar that was present. That's like the ABCs of shibud. Now again, whether that's deraisa, derabbanan, you got to learn kufay and hey, kufay and bava bava basra. But halacha ma'aseh, that's for sure the notion of say lekuchos. Comes the rabbi and says, is that aspect, that consequence of say lekuchos that explains now why all the amaraim said, or half the amaraim said halacha of loz begitin of lo bishtars. Why not? Says the rabbi, there's no objective reason why. There's no independent reason why a shtar should be any worse than gittin. I'll tell you the reason, says the rabbi. Because shtaris could impact on the kuchos. And we don't want to have a shtar impacting on the kuchos unless there's what? Who are the edim who spread the word? The edim chasima, they're the guys who talk. Edim besira, they feel like they were given a very insignificant job. Edim besira, they're just watching it. Edim chasima, they're the ones who quote, hey, did you hear what happened today? I signed the ksuba today. Wow, I signed the marriage lights today. I signed the prenup today. Wow, I'm really, really important. So people who sign documents, they get the buzz on the street. They're the ones who put it on their Twitter panel, the Instagram, nonsense they put on. They're the ones who spread the word. Spreads like wildfire. Edi Mesira? Yeah, it was Edi Mesira. Who's an Edi Mesira? Doesn't mean anything. Edi Chasima? They trusted me to sign my name, had to show them I know how to sign, had to know how to write. That's the serious stuff. So comes the rabbi and says, it was that added precaution that lest we end up with a shtar without chasimus on it, that we don't want that kind of a situation. That's why halacha was nimnu v'gav, halacha v'lo is a begitin of a nishpa shtaris. Is it an objective chiluk? There's no reason for an objective chiluk, says the rabbi. And therefore, says the rabbi, what if you have a shtar mammon that doesn't have that concern attached to it? I'll dream you up a shtar mammon that's never going to be going for the lekuchas anyway. There's never going to be any shibudim anyway. A shtar hava always has the potential of lekuchas. A shtar mechira always has. There's only one kind of a shtar that doesn't have any possibility of ever going after lekuchas. You know what it is? A shtar matana. I give you a gift. I write you a document saying, I'm hereby giving you as a gift my $1 million home. And I give it to you, and then a week later it turns out that it wasn't really mine. So you come yelling and screaming to Beis Din, how dare you, I'm going to go after your lekuchos. So I tap you on the shoulder and say, you go after lekuchos. What loss exactly did you suffer? Did you pay me? It was a gift. It wasn't a very honest gift. So you have no recourse. Who are you going after? If you bought field for me and you laid out $1,010 and $1 million and you gave me $1 million and now I skipped town, I sold it was meshuvah to somebody else. So you're going to go nuts. You're going to go berserk and you're going to go collect from my lekuchos. But a shtar betana doesn't have lekuchos anyway. Yifa says, the rabbi, guess what? Out of all the shtari moment, all the shtari moment under the sun, we don't follow Rabbi Elazar. Edei chasima are critical. But there's one shtar moment that we will accept Edei Mesira. And what is that? Ishtar Matanta, thank you very much. I said, Hedu Kafchas, Hai Ishtar Matanta, the Chasiba Lebetri, Drake Yisi. The rabbi gives a whole shiur klali as to why that Gemara said Hedu is not a riot. So, in the process of deflating and deflecting the raya of Tesis and the supposed drift raya, the rabbi answered this deep, dark secret as to Manishtan Ishtar Mam from Shemgit. It doesn't make any sense. That's the famous beer with the rabbi. Baruch Hashem, we can breathe the sigh of relief. The Gemara, we accomplished two things with the rabbi. We have a lumdus as to why shtar mammon part ways from gittin, and it's a very shvach lumdus. It's not a real lumdus; it's just a technicality. And number two, we have a way to deflect the raya of the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin.
The don't kids in also allow us to collect from the
street? Ksuba, that is too complicated. I can't begin to get that. Too complicated.
Why are we not concerned that you sign a shtar loan on Monday, and then on Tuesday, if you get a loan, we not the land that you recycled,
No, when I sell a land, I borrow money, so the shibud is only.
I'm taking a loan with the lien on the land that I have, but I really the day before I just signed up for sharma tana. I just signed that off as a sharma tana. So why are we concerned about that case going to the right? He's over there. There's going to be a cult. No one's going to know that I just gave the sharma tana.
No, there's no recourse. There's no collecting. If it went sour, so it went sour. Finished. Who are you going after?
The person who's being messed over is the person who's being hurt is the other guy because the lender on the next day because the first guy has rights to the field. He has shomer tana.
She the lender. Lender would have nechassim, the guy has a meshuvah. He didn't have nechassim, he didn't have nechassim. Let the lender figure out what he has nechassim. I don't know, I'm not sure.
You only have one field.
So comes the Ramban and says, Mechilas kov de hilga raivid. Ramban had tremendous cover for the raivid. He said, Mechilas kov de hilga raivid. That's bechlal not the reason why we differentiate, why you have to have more of a differentiate between shtar mammon and gittin. The Ravid mamish made up a reason. He made up a reason yesh me'ayin. The Gemara gives a reason why. Does the Gemara give a reason? Oh, did I miss something? V'satam chlicheres l'man yamdu yomim rabim. The simple reading of the Gemara in the end of the second parak is that a get doesn't really have to, doesn't have that added mile of yom rabim. It's got to be around for years on end. A get, the woman's going to... She gets divorced? Yeah. How long is she going to remain single? So, 6 months later, she's going to remarry. Sure. Pasuk says in Ravi Yirmiyo, when you write a shtar, Mammon, man yamdu yom rabim, you want to hold on to that title of Deiri Deiris. Okay, it's true. You're going to get a little lazy and you're going to throw off the shtar for 3 years. Okay, that is because we had to make it the Kodach as the bottom for you. Otherwise, we remember what to learn last year. But the goal of a shtar is supposed to be l'man yamdu yom rabim. That's the state of the Hilga Novi Yirmiyo. And therefore, if the get's supposed to be usable for many, many years, it's going to be very unusable if it doesn't have what on it? If it doesn't have what? Eidei chasim on it. What am I going to do with it? A get without eidei chasim, v'sval l'man yom rabim. And therefore, says the Ramban, if the real reason why the Amoraim were hesitating to accept a Belozo Legamre and they wanted a split between Gittin and Shtar Mammon, what does it have to do with the Ravid Shtichel Torah about the Pesedet of the Kuchos and Maislach and Shibud Nachos and the whole complete tangent down the end of Baba Basra? What's it with anything? Shtar Mammon are different because of that special cloud called the Man Yom Nirim Rabim. And therefore, that's equally true for Shtar Mammon. And therefore, the Rabban says, "Adi kushlo duchto." If the Amoraim in Sanhedrin and Daf Chav Ches were comfortable having a shtar matana with Eidi Mesira, that's a right that we're comfortable with having Eidi Chasima on a shtar moment. To arbitrarily differentiate between the shtar matana versus other shtaros because the Rabbi made up a reason, says the Rabban, the reason is lo yidvam yam. So the Ramban says the Rabban's dichay is 100% incorrect, but he's right anyway. Says Raman, you know why? Because for technical reasons, that Gemara in Sanhedrin Kav Ches is really meaningless to our discussion. That Gemara is not going to make or break the day, says the Ramban, for pure technical reasons. Let me explain to you what the technical reasons are, says the Ramban. Two technical reasons. First of all, So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Kofchas that has the Hilga Abaye and the Hilga Rav Yosef signing on to Rabbi Elazar for Shtari Mamon. 100% true. I agree with you 1,000%, says the Rambam. The Hilga Amorim is signing on to Rabbi Elazar Lagamri for Shtari Mamon. Abaye was one person, and Rav Yosef was another person. So we have two Amorim, as great as prominent they were, who were accepting Rabbi Elazar Lahalachi by Shtari Mamon. Go do the math and Daf Pei Vav. Anyone look up the Gemara and Daf Pei Vav? What does the Gemara say in Daf Pei Vav? Gemara says, Alachar was begitin, and Shmuel said af bishtaris. But anyone who used the phrase begitin means only begitin. And how many people said only begitin? Rabba said the name of Abba Mishrei. The Rav Alachar was begitin, and Harbaseda Bekiba Dover said it. Chaba Gruber Rav said it. Chavreina Bekiba Dover said it. Shem Rabbeinu said it. Rav Chizna said it. Chaba Gruber said it. Rav said it. I'm repeating names. Yes, Robin said it. How many? What was the number?
I counted fast.
I
kind
of
like.
You have a minion. There's a minion of Amorim. So come to Rabban and says, so you have 10, 11, 12, somewhere in the middle of Amorim, who are not willing to commit themselves to Alachar Belazar Bishar Shtaris. And you dug up Rav Yosef and Abaye, who say Fakir. Good. So it's 11 to 3. So 11 to 3. 11 still wins. The Rabban said, just in terms of Derech HaPsach, the Gemara said, "Eder good, so tiny was and Eder said good, so what?" We know this is a machlokes. We know that the Avraham Amorim weren't willing to accept Rav Elazar b'shas Shtaris. So what are you going to help me by sticking on two of the Amorim on the other side? That was the technical issue the Rabban took with the ride. Then the Rabban said, "There'll be another technical issue." Let's go back to the original story. What was the original story? How did the story start out with that raya? The Gemara said, "Henry, who remembers?" How shtabatad the chesib lewat treywat. You two brothers-in-law signed on. Now remember, there was a machloikis at Tanoim where the brothers-in-law can sign all together. And they signed together. What did Rav Yosef really believe, truthfully? What was Rav Yosef's real shita? Beneinu. When Abaye questioned him and he said, hey, wait a second, how can you let this? What did Rav Yosef really hold? The brothers-in-law kosher. So Abaye chepped and said, no, you know, it's a mishnah, it's a brayis. So what did Rav Yosef say? Okay, shh. Quiet Abaye down. What did Rav Yosef say? Let them use what? They use any Mesirah. And then Abaye Chepanim began and said, Os Mesufi Teichon Volam. Beineinu, says the Ramban. Rav Yosef, really honest to goodness, held. The reason why the Shtar was good is because the Eidei Chesim were kosher. The only reason why he went down the next route and said, okay, we'll rely on the Eidei Mesirah, was to keep Abaye in check, keep Abaye quiet. La'olam, says the Ramban, but it could be that Rav Yosef held that the Eidei Mesirah wouldn't have really done the trick, because La'olam halachar b'lazar wouldn't be getting that b'shtari mamon. He just said it liyesas ace. He held the ikra din was kosher anyway because shtei gisei are kosher. So you can't bring a raya from the fact that Rav Yosef went down the route of Eidei Mesirah that he really held Eidei Mesirah good. Taka li'olam Eidei Mesirah taka no good. He was playing around with his young Talmud Abaye. So the Ramban, a long Sefer Schus. The Ramban wrote Mochamas to defend against the Baal Moros attacks in the Rif, and he wrote the Sefer Schus to defend against the Ravens that. Whoever was attacking the Rif, the Ramban went up to bat for. So Achareki Chleisakol, the Ramban says that, you know, that Gemara in Sanhedrin is not going anywhere. No matter where you turn that Gemara, some Rishon thought that Gemara was a good Ravan. Either the Ravitz shot is right, which is probably not, or my Dicha is right, the other Dicha is right. That Gemara Sanhedrin, we spent 35 minutes talking about it, but it's not going anywhere. No one's gonna, it's not gonna make a break that day. Okay, so we're done with that. Okay, it's all finished history. So we'll go to another Gemara. So the other Gemara that became pivotal was the Gemara in Dafir Alf and Alf. So the Gemara in the fourth of the man became is Gittin Alf and Alf. Amar Rava. Hai Shtar Parsa. A Shtar that's supervised by Persians. It's signed by Persians. Now, if it's only Shtar Mamon, so that's great, right? We like the Persians. Why? If they're if they're akos, if they're professionals, if they're lawyers, if they're judges, if they're the real McCoy, professional documents, we're okay with Persian signatures. The problem is they weren't such akos. They're regular guys, the guys sitting on the street corner playing dice. They weren't professionals. So Omar Rav, it's okay. Master de Lebiapi Sad Yisrael. As long as it was handed over in the presence of Eidim Mesira, Jewish Eidim Mesira, it's good. We can use the shtar. The shtar is acceptable, but you have to be careful. You can only collect from the Nichsi Ha'loiva. You can't collect from the Chos Mishabodim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Why is the shtar good altogether? Forget about shtar and the Chos Mishabodim. The shtar is possible. Halo Yadei Lemikra. The Eidim Mesira, you're relying on the Eidim Mesira? The Jewish Eidim Mesira, they don't even know how to read Persian. How can you start it so you don't even know what it says? It's a Bidiyadeh. They're very well educated. They took Persian and YU. They have a foreign language. They know how to read Persian also. Okay. But there's a halacha when you write a shtar that has to be written in a way that's not Efshel Zayef, right? We spoke about this earlier. That according to Ramey or Rabbi Loza, right? And the Persians weren't so careful about this. No, Bidiyadeh. The question says, no, the paper, the cloth was written, the parchment was treated in such a way that it's not a Efshel Zayef. Okay, good. There's another din in Uchashtaras that you have to give the sikum, you have to give a summary, the last line, just to make sure if we even got the story right. And the Persian documents didn't do this. So how could we be machsha Persian document? No, it's hard to know. The Persians asked the rabbis how to do it. So the text was, they took the text out of the madras. So they wrote, everything was good. So it was written on a properly treated cloth, and the Jewish Eidim knew how to read Persian. And everything is great. So the Gemara says it's all great. So we should use it to collect from the Chos Mishabodim. It's a shtar. It basically is a shtar. Gemara says no. Lest they call. Why? Who? It's Moitzi Kol. Who remembers? Who makes a fuss? Who spreads the word? Only the Edewa, the Chasiba, not the Edebasi. Edebasi don't make a big fuss. They don't make a big shebang, and therefore the shtar is good, but. It's only good enough easy to collect from the Chasim and Echayr and not from the Chasim and Shubat. Ad ken debir gemar. Nobody see this gemar? This was a shtar what? Shtar moment. And what did the gemar just say? It was Masre Niyalei Ba'afi Sadi Yisrael. There were no Adi Chasim on the shtar. The whole koyach of the shtar was that was handed over in the presence of Jewish witnesses, Eidim Mesira. Zeman from this Gemara, that what? No. That's okay. It's all right. We can pass it. We can use this in Beis Din. But it's a shtar moment. Don't we pass it like Rabbi Loza on a begitin not b'shtar moment? What do you see what this Gemara says, Taisus? No. We pass it like Rabbi Loza begitin u'b'shtar moment. Adkan. Who's not going to be able to be doich anymore? Who's not going to be able to push this Gemara off anymore? The Ravid, why? Because this shtar is talking about what kind of a shtar is it? Clearly it's a what? There's Gevir here, because the Gemara is talking about Nechas Mishabadim, so clearly there's going to be a Gevir here, and still Rava said it's okay. What else? Who else won't be able to be Deicha? Could the Ramban be Deicha this Gemara? What do you think? Depends which version of the Chiyah the Ramban. If you go down the second Dichuy of the Ramban, that Gemara Sanhedrin was different because if Yosef really held this kosher anyway, that doesn't make it, that's not applicable here. But if you go down the first Dichuy of the Ramban says, so you're going to dig up a Gemara that says, Eidim Mesira are good, by Shtar Mamun. Whoop de doo. Now it's 11 against, what were the numbers you were keeping score? 11 against 4, right? So we'll put Rav on the team. It's still 11 to 4. We're still behind. You got to catch up, right? I give Zevin the ball a few times. I got to catch up quickly, okay? So bottom line is that this Gemara maybe is a Raya, maybe not a Raya. Hard to tell. So comes the Ramban and says, no, this Gemara is not a Raya. You know why? Listen to this Ramban. I'll tell you why this Gemara is not a Raya. Forget the Eidi Yisrael for a second. Eidi Mesira for a second. Forget. Just forget those two. What's wrong with the Persian document? We don't like the Persians. We don't like the Persians. That's what we're doing. That's what the Goyish document. We don't have anything really bad against Persian documents or against Goyish documents. Haraya, any Haraya that we're not anti Goyish documents per se. Haraya, what do we accept?
Akos.
So we are willing, we're very open, right? We interact with, you know, secular society. We will accept the non-Jewish documents. The only thing is, we're a little bit weird before we do that because we just want to make sure that what? We just want to make sure it's honest, that's all. So Chazal Mishayer, the Mishnah, later on the first book of Mishayer, if it's our co's, if they're professionals, they have their reputation on the line, you know, their courts, the law, they're probably doing things up to par. So we can trust them and should. If it's hadyaitis, they don't really have an incentive not to lie. You can't tell. So we want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So we're not sure we have that standard by hadyaitis. Therefore, we have to shy away from accepting shtar hadyaitis. But be'ikaron, there's nothing per se wrong with the documents. Again, minatar, there's a lot of things wrong with it, the posliatis, but we glossed over that in the mechusadinas and hefkebez and hefkebez. We're okay with that per se. When we look at a Goyish document, the only real question we're asking for is it legit or not? Is it honest or not? Comes Rabban and pulls something out of his hat. Last year, so just comes Rabban and says, I'm a Jewish guy. I authorized a writing of a shtar by Persians, not the lawyers. I pulled the guys playing pinochle in the corner. And I asked them to put together some documentation for me. And I called over two Jews to watch the handing over of the shtar. And the two Jews are going to walk in the days in a week later and say, we were there, we saw Reuven hand over a shtar to Shimon in our presence. What did Reuven do in effect by doing that? By handing over a Persian shtar that's not really worth anything. The shtar b'atzmusa was possible. Because the shtar is a shtar b'hedyaitis, it's nishkin akos, there's no raya brewer that it's telling the truth. So the shtar objectively is possible. But what did Reuven do by authorizing such a document? And we have proof positive by two Eidi Yisrael, Eidi Mesira, who can walk the days the next week and say, we saw Reuven hand over the shtar, written by guys who are playing poker. What did Reuven do? Anyone want to tell me what Reuven just did? Not just Magal that he wanted it. What?
Trustworthy.
What did he give me a lom de shatur?
You just
give me the phrase. You're right, but give me the phrase. Reuven just gave us a blank that this shtar is legit.
Right.
Reuven just made a blank that this shtar is an honest, a good shtar. Thank you. Music to my ears. He just gave us a hodas baldin that this shtar is honest to goodness true. Okay, objectively, did we think so? I got a document signed by a couple of guys in Persian who don't have the reputation. They're not lawyers. They're just guys running around the streets of Tehran. I don't know what they're doing. They're not lawyers. So they're not going to... We can't paskin based on the shtar. Unless the Baldin himself told us that it's a good shtar. If he stayed, the Baldin walks in and says it's a good shtar, he's contesting the shtar now. What's the answer? Well, nincompoop, if you didn't think it was a real shtar, a valid shtar, why in the world did you let two A.D. Yisrael watch you hand it over to the other guy? That was pretty foolish. So licked in his mysterious shtar is Hodos Baldin. Now, as we learned already last year, Hodos Baldin can be Adim Dabi does not necessitate a guy walking into Beis Din and even opening up his mouth. Hodos Baldin does not require words. Hodos Baldin, actions speak louder than words. Remember last year, we spoke a lot about this. Chosm ala sodev, chosm ala aid, right? We spoke about this a lot last year. You can make Hodos Baldins without saying a peep. Same way you can make a shavya nafshnich nisura without making a peep. Remember, lof shabig de nidus, I think we spoke about this once or twice. So the person didn't say boo, and he just gave an unbelievable self-incriminating Hodos Baldin. If the Ramban says in one fell swoop, throw the Gemara and get Daf Yud Aleph out the window also. So Rabbi, we are left with absolutely what? Nothing. We spent 15 minutes this morning just trying to understand. Halakha Rav Lez Begitin or B'Shar Shtaris. Guys. Halakha Rav Lez Begitin or even B'Shar Shtaris. And we have two Gemaras that we drew upon. One Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kafkas, and for multiple reasons we concluded that Gemara is meaningless. We had a Gemara in Dafyad Aleph, and now for a Shtaka reason we realized that Gemara is meaningless as well. So we have two approaches right now. We can say it's Tuesday, it's early Shir anyway, just throw the towel and just call it a day. Or we can try Halach again. Just because you lost twice doesn't mean you shouldn't try a third time. Try a third time. But in order to try the third time, we have to acquaint, or for those last year, reacquaint ourselves with Gemara Ksubis and Daf Tzadid Aleph and Aleph. It is a pivotal Gemara on so many different levels. Let's see, when you get started this Gemara Ksubis and Daf Tzadid Aleph, this is going to become the potential Raya. I didn't say absolute Raya, potential. Ksubis Tzadid Aleph, Itra. They shtar us a yeitzim b'yem echod. Reuven's got a field to sell. He really is strapped for cash. He really, really has to sell this field quickly. So he doesn't do too much. He needs a lot of cash. What does he do? He sells the field to two different people on the same day. So now, a week later, Shimon walks into the basement and says, I'm the owner of the field. I got a document that says, what's today's date? Kafkas, what's today? Kafkas, Cheshvan. Am I right? So I got a document that says Kof Ches Cheshvin that Reuven sold me his field. And Levi walks to the base, then 5 minutes later, by golly, I also have a document that says that he sold me his field. Gee, it's kind of hard to sell the same field to two people. I mean, if you want money, it's a good way to get extra cash. So who is the rightful owner? Now again, Reuven's going to have to reimburse somebody here. There's no question. Reuven's not walking away with double stakes in this field. But either Shimon or Levi are the rightful owners of this field. So if he asked me, I would say, who's the rightful owner? Tell me. Very simple equation. Who's the rightful owner? Whoever got it first. What's the problem? We have no way of knowing who got it first. Why? Why do we have no way of knowing who got it first? Because on Shtaris, we generally don't what? We don't write the hour. We don't write the date. In Yerushalayim, for some strange reason, the Gemara says the minhag was they used to write shows also. I don't know why. Anyone in the second loop, write the hour? Sell a field, sell a house?
Certainly not customary.
What?
Certainly not customary.
Right. So we don't have the minhag in Yerushalayim?
You couldn't.
Nobody does it. So, Itmar, Dei Shtaris, Yetzi B'yam Echot. So what do you do? So Rav Omachokin, Rav throws his hands up and he says, there is no way to resolve this. It's a suffix mammon, and everybody knows, what's the cloud? Come on, fill me in. Mammon mutum a suffix? Chokin! We don't know who owns this field, so therefore we got to split it between Shimon and Levi. Really? That's a cloud? Really? Anyone remember that cloud? That was Sumchus's cloud. Sumchus was the Heligatana. He was the Talmud, Mufik of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says Sumcha was such a charif, like his Rebbe. Remember we said that Rebbe Meir was such a charif, he was so sharp that nobody understood him. So the Gemara says Sumcha's mamash followed his Rebbe, he was so sharp that if he had an argument, he could convince you that he'll give you 50 reasons why Sheretz is tahor. So Taisus in Sanhedrin says, I understand, but this is nonsense, it's a prum Torah. The Torah says it's tam, 50. So Taisus, Rabbi Tam gives a shtichel Torah what that Gemara means. It doesn't mean a sheretz is really Torah. It means a sheretz in these circumstances gives you a whole shikloli as to what Sumchus is going to pull off. So Sumchus was very, very, very sharp. So Sumchus had this klal, and the Imam is called Mamun with Musafi Chalkin. So guess what? According to the overwhelming majority of the sheretz, we don't even pass like so. There's no such klal. What are we passing? Zechal Gol Bedin. What are we passing? Matzchil Levaraya. So how did Tzumchus make it Ches HaMesim here in Dusugya? What's the answer? Who remembers from last year? Taisus points out of a master that even though we don't follow Tzumchus, we pass Ket Matzchil of a Raya, the Chal Galabedin, but what if there is no Matzchil of a Raya? What is the no Muchsuk? What if you have a latest Asafik in Mamun with absolutely no Muchsuk? There's no Chazok of the Hashem, there's no Muchsuk, there's no Ches HaMesim Kama, there's nothing zero. It's just my word against yours. Wait, hold on. You guys are too advanced for me. I'm talking Sumchus in the Rabbanim. So Taisa says that Sumchus is fundamentally right. Simchas' assessment of how do you deal with the Imamunus is fundamentally right. Chokin. If there's no other way, then you have to split it in half. That is Midas Adin. Simchas is 1,000% right. Elowa, the Chacham say, that's Midas Adin, but we have something which is better. We have something that trumps that. That's called Amatzach Elav Araya. So if Amatzach Elav Araya breaks down for whatever reason, and there's nothing else to substitute for Amatzach Elav Araya, then Simchas becomes the norm. And so Rashi writes in Simchas of Rav Mem Zayin, that Elav Elav Develek in Chayim, Rashi has an interesting shot. Other Rishonim have different interpretations. Rashi writes, Elav Elav Develek in Chayim means that any sheet that's proposed by a Tana, by a Mari, any sheet that exists, has a certain degree of truth to it. And it would be true, except in this particular case, there's some other factor. But don't negate the shita because there's 95% of that shita is true, and therefore when the facts change a little bit and the other factors aren't there, then that shita now becomes 100% true. That's what Elav Elav Develek Chaim means. So every time, every Amar, every Risha, everything, every shita may not be true now. By here, now, by Sheo Shom, this is not the Ebeslamita in Halacha. But there is such a degree of truth in it that once a little quirk changes, it becomes the norm of Halacha. That's exactly, that's other Risha, have different Biurim than that tomorrow. Elav Elav, what Elav Elav means. But whatever it means, so this is a perfect example of Rashi's Pshadim Supas Ben Zayin. The what? Right, it's still a little bit. So Sumchas is Shita really makes a lot of sense, and it will be applicable, it will be Halacha L'maisa, in the absence of what? The absence of a Muchsaf, or something equivalent to Muchsaf. Rabbi Chanan has a fascinating comment on this sugya of Sumchas and Rabbanan, that we really do accept Sumchas as Zayin. Sumchas, that makes a lot of sense. The smartest judge in the world, Paskin Cholkin, says Rabbi Chanan, if not for the fact that when you cut a baby in half, the baby dies, fundamentally Shlomo HaMelech was not playing a game. I mean, in the end, he meant it as he meant it to trip up the chakran. That was the goal of his famous psak of Yechloikov. But says Rabbi Chanan, it could be that Lefimidas Hadin, putting the biology aside, it was the correct psak. Because there was no muhsuk. You know, the baby's lying there. We don't know who's, no one's holding on to the baby. So we have no idea who's the live baby, who the mother is. So Midas Hadin dictates that Yechloikov. Interesting insight. Back to that story. But putting aside cutting babies, in regular Nidimominus, so Yechloikov, that's not what Rav says. Beishtas Yetzir Mechud. Who's the muhsuk on the karka? There's only one person who may have some chazakas on this karka. You know who that is? Reuven, the original owner. He doesn't even have a chazak on it. What does he have? He has a cheskes what? Or a kama. He was the original owner. But his bechaz kama is irrelevant. You know why? Because we know for absolute certain he's not the owner anymore. He's not even claiming that it's his field anymore. We have, forget, not one shtamachir, we have two shtamachirs to reckon with. So he's for sure not the owner. So he's not the baldom, he's not claiming the field. He just wants his money. Actually, he wants twice his money. But we're going to deal with that later. So the din turns between Shimon and Levi, and neither Shimon or Levi has any degree of chazak on it. So Rav says it, Yechloikov will finish. Even the Rabban of the Sukkah is Yechloikov. And Shmuel comes, Mamash Alef. Shmuel says, no. A new innovative psakia called Shuda the Daini. I never heard of that. I mean, we did hear of it, but I never heard of that. What does that mean? What do the words mean? So major machloik is Rashi. He says, boss is Shuda the Daini. So who remembers the lesson? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Rashi in the Rashbam, Rashi in Subis, and Rashbam in Baba Bas. What do they say? Shuda Daini means we have to make an educated guess as to who Reuven probably sold the field to. How would I even do that? So I have to take Psychology 101 and understand Reuven's motives. Does Reuven like Shimon? Shimon have Reuven have a relationship with Levi? Who are the better chance? It's not perfect, but who are the odds are that Reuven probably sold the field to? That's Rashi and the Rashbam's words of Shuddan. Rabbi Tam said, flip a coin, heads, Shimon gets it, tails, Levi gets it. That's it. It's just, the Dayan has free reign to decide whatever he wants. You know why? Because there's absolutely no way to come to any real conclusion. So, wow, that's a loaded psak. Why did Shmuel veer away from Rav? And why did Rav not accept this loaded psak? What's that all about? So, that's going to set the stage. I'll mention it tomorrow.
And the Gemara is going to, believe it or not, relate this machlokes Rabbi Shmuel back to, believe it or not, Rabbi Meir of Lozer, Eide Chasima, Eide Mesira. So we got a lot of work to do still on this Gemara and try to connect all the dots to figure out why this Gemara is or is not relevant to our discussion. Tomorrow's regular schedule, right?
Yeah.
Wednesday, regular, normal schedule.